Welcome to David's Life and Observation with your host, David Welch. Today's show covers two incidents, just two. I'll have to try and keep my commentary between the two as even as I can, but I don't know if I can because both are just so stupid and egregious that it's hard to keep both in check, right? So the first incident comes where a bus driver decided to slap a 10-year-old because their mask slipped off their nose. Listen, as a father, when shit like that happens out in the world, in the universe, and happens to your child, I really pray that the forces that be separate you for as long as possible, because murder would be the only thing that comes to mind. Like, that literally is the only thing that comes to mind when I just fear anybody going anywhere near my kids and putting hands on them. Whether it's the slap, a swat, I mean, I don't care what it is. Especially when you're not family, nor do you have the right to just go slap a kid as a bus. My bus drivers back then were pretty tough. Like, I gotta admit, like, I grew up like with two tough bus drivers, Kathy being one of them, and she was a different way tough. Like, she was the greatest person probably in the world, but she didn't tolerate no nonsense. She was just a no nonsense lady. You cussed on her bus, 100 sentences. You know, you fought on her bus, 100 sentences, and you had to complete your dang sentences before you got home. So, or even if you got home, she kept the notebook, so you were writing the next day. You got to complete your sentences. You know, she was no nonsense like that. She did not play. Like, you got in trouble on her bus, you paid for it every bit of the way. You didn't enjoy your ride at all. But I loved her for it. She was amazing. Probably one of the best bus drivers I ever had. A very cool lady. You know, later on in life, you realize how important she was to your structure of being, but not in the moment. Obviously, in the moment, you're like, dang, man, I don't like this bus driver. She caught me again. God damn it. Like, you're like, why is this happening to me? But, you know, at the end, you're like, okay, cool. Now, my second bus driver was also cool. This dude didn't people word. He didn't have to. He just gave you that, like, so he really did. This is kind of funny, but he really did look like Woody. But he never wore a cowboy hat. So he looked like Woody without a cowboy hat. And he was just this really, you know, Mr. Rogers-like character where he was, you know, always had a smile. Like, everybody was going nuts in the bus. And this dude was just focused, right? Like, and people didn't go nuts in this, but he, you know, like, banter, he didn't care. You know, excessive talking. The only time you knew to be quiet, though, was, like, at a bus stop. Or not a bus stop, but a railroad tracks. So that was the only time he really got any sort of word in, was like, you know, you just knew. And if you were a second year on his bus, you just knew. You just shut up at that period of time. You knew when it was coming. Y'all didn't say a word. It was just it, right? So anyway, so he was a good influence on me too. I would have never dreamed in my life that any of those two would have got up and, like, put a hands on a child. Now, if someone, like, I have seen one time where Kathy, you know, separated people fighting. Like, that was the worst she did. And she would drag, it didn't matter if you were the offensive or the defensive, y'all had sentences. So it didn't matter. She worked with the younger kids, I would say elementary. It was the junior high kids and the high schoolers that worked with the other bus driver that we had, even some elementary kids, because it was all in the city. So it wasn't really, it was kind of a hodgepodge where you had to just, you know, rely on the older kids for being sane, which they weren't all the time, but it was neither here nor there. But they were cool. They never, like, messed with you. There were some instances where, you know, our second bus driver, call him Woody. That wasn't his name, but did he get loud? No. All he had to do was look. And as soon as that smile, you know, evaporated, you know, even the high schoolers were like, nah, we're not going to test Mr. Rogers today. That's not going to happen. We're not going to see the depths of this dude's ability. So they would pipe down. If he said anything over a decibel, you were like, what? He has a voice, but he didn't have to really say anything. He just gave you that look, you know, and that look, as soon as his eyebrows went in, you were like, wait, he has an evil looking fucking face when he has to. But even then, he was cool with you. He didn't really, like, he even said, like, I don't ask a lot of you guys. I play music. You guys can talk what you want. The only time I want you to be quiet and shut up is when I'm at a railroad, you know, crossing. That's it. Y'all get a fight on my bus, I'm going to pull over and let you guys off right there. And he did. He did not play with that shit. He did not play at all. You want to fight on his bus? Good. You can fight right out in the grass, right where the, wherever the hell he dropped you. It don't matter if you were out in the country. He had no qualms leaving your ass out in the country for your ass to walk home. Seen him do it 2 times. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my fucking life, where he had these two kids scrapping. I think one was middle school, one was a high schooler. He dropped them off about 20 feet apart. Dropped off the high school kid first. And mind you, this high school kid's bawling. He's like, my dad's going to kick my ass. Like, hey, so what? You decided to fight on his bus with the junior high kid. So that's on you. That's on you. Like, that was his mentality. Did he get in trouble a couple times as the bus driver? I think so. Because there was like a week or so he wasn't there. He had a different bus driver. But when he came back, he said, hey, I have no qualms doing that. You know I don't. I'll leave you where you are. So if you want to fight, plan on being left in the city. Or, you know, and you had parents, obviously, they're going to freak out. They don't know where their kid is. He would drive by the house, let them know what mile marker they were at, and said, hey, this is where they're at. And if you had dad and mom drive out there and get you, I felt bad for you as a kid. Because you were about to get fucked up. So it was just like one of those things where, you know, he didn't play. Like, you want to go ahead and scrap? Cool, I got you. You don't want to listen to the rules? Cool, I got you. They didn't play. But would they ever have slapped the shit out of a child? Heck no. Would they have slapped the shit out of an adult? Heck yes. You know, Kathy was one of those no-nonsense, you know, asshole mom. So we had a couple angry parents come on the bus threatening kids because their kid got bullied or whatever have you. And she wouldn't let them on the bus. She would stand in the way. She'd, you know, position her body between her and the kids. That's the way it went. There's only one time I ever see in my life where our second bus driver ever had to, like, stand up for any fucking reason. And that's because a big burly-ass fucking dude was trying to get on the bus. And because I guess somebody threw something from the bus and it hit his car and he broke a window or something. So that was the one instance where I seen, you know, the bus driver, like, step between somebody and us. But he told the guy, he said, you come on board this bus, I'm going to call the police and you will get arrested. So the guy stayed off the bus, but he, you know, then the bus driver turned on us and was like, okay, what happened? Who did what? Tell me the truth or everybody's getting off my bus. So come to find out, somebody did throw something, but it had no way been enough damage to, it was not even a, what was it, like a roll of toilet paper or something. It was just something that was, you know, random, but it did no damage to any vehicle, but it was thrown from the vehicle, from the bus. And obviously the bus driver didn't play that shit either. He was like, you know, don't throw shit from my bus. So whatever the case, this guy wanted to make an issue of it. And, you know, the bus driver said, hey, they said they threw something that couldn't have possibly hurt your dang mirror. I want to side with the kids. Yeah, problem. Follow us, and then, you know, you can talk to the parents. The guy didn't pay, you know, any further mind. He just wanted the name of the kid, and he didn't get it. So that was the only time I ever saw the bus driver remotely even have to stand up, because I don't think he would have let the guy on come hell or high water anyway. But I digress. So going back to this guy who decided to put hands on a kid, like, you have no idea whose child that is. You don't know how dangerous the parents are. You don't know what's keeping that parent together, you know, psychologically, societally, all of that. You don't know what triggers that parent. Like, that parent could have grown up in an abusive situation where, you know, around that age, abuse happened, and it traumatizes people. Like, you think that kid's going to be 10 and want to be on a, you know, on a bus with some sort of authority figure and then, you know, be assaulted? Like, no, you're not going to want to be on the bus at all. So I have a feeling that not only is that school district, but that bus driver individually is going to get sued. But regardless of the legal aspects, you as a bus driver just got to know, like, I don't care what the situation is. You're not going to put hands on a kid, especially if they're, like, 10 years old. Or if at the worst, you're separating them from combating each other, right? Now, I've seen instances where you've got assholes, 16, 17, 18, 15-year-old kids who are throwing bombs against the bus driver, and the bus driver waylays their ass. I don't have any qualms about that because the kids need to sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up, and ride the bus instead of fighting with their bus driver. Now, if the kid wants off the bus, let him off the bus. You are not obligated as a bus driver to force the kids to stay on the bus. Now, as far as I know, you have to let them on the bus to their destination unless something goes on. Then you can pull over and call dispatch and let them know what's going on, and then they go get their parents or whatever have you. But yeah, there's no obligation for you to keep riffraff on your bus either, I don't believe. Not anymore. So, rules have changed since I was a kid, but we would have never challenged our bus drivers. But the mask thing is stupid because kids, they don't know why they're doing it. Even at 10 years old, like, yeah, you know why. You get it, I guess. But it's such a weird thing to just harp on, right? It's a weird thing to be aggressive for. Even if you're a masker, are you really going to lose your mind on a 10-year-old for playing with their mask or not having it fully on? Are you going to slap them and point your finger in their face? Like, who are you, motherfucker? Like, are you serious with that? Like, are you seriously, like, do you normally go around putting hands on 10-year-olds? Because if that's something you've gotten away with before, like, after this incident, you will never get away with that shit again, bro. Like, I don't care who you are. You're about to, whether it's in prison or outside of prison, you're about to have the brakes beaten off you by some sort of parent or cousin or uncle or somebody affiliated with that child because you put hands on a child for zero fucking reason. Like, that's not reason enough to put hands on a child. It's just not. So, like, good luck. Good luck and stay armed because you are about to run into a whole litany of problems. And you're out on bond right now? Good luck. I bet you are worried as hell. Because, quite frankly, I would be. If I'm the parent, bro, you wouldn't even make it all the way to the house before you had a confrontation with me. I would have done already had the brakes beaten off you before you ever got anywhere near that door. That's just facts. Like, you don't put hands on my kids without me fucking retaliating in some sort of way. It's just not going to happen. Not only will I retaliate, but I will end you. I will end your existence for touching my child. You don't fucking touch my child. Like, and that's how a lot of parents believe. Like, fucking with a millennial child, like a child from a millennial, you know, especially an older millennial like I am, 1985, like you are going to be in a world of fucking pain. Like, you are going to be in a world so far fucked that it's just unreal. Now, a lot of us want to stay civil. We do. We have that aspiration because we're that last vestige of generation that really just wanted to have fun. We never wanted to go to war. We had war thrown upon us. We never wanted to deal with a fucked up economy. That's been thrown on us several fucking times. And we're not part of the generation of, you know, fucking curmudgeonly old people that constantly need to fucking line their own pockets with war money and blood money. We're not part of that generation. Have we served in the military for that generation? Yeah, but that shit's coming to a stop. Not a lot of people are wanting even to join the military for any fucking reason. In fact, the military, unfortunately, has gotten a bad rap because of the warmongers in Congress, because of the warmonger politicians and the Democrats and Republicans that obviously don't give a shit or two shits about any sort of government employee. They really don't, because it's all about them and the money that they can make and the fucking statement they're going to make in their own political parties and playing politics. Like, that's dumb. They have no ambition to do anything for the American people. Otherwise, cannabis would have already been legalized a long fucking time ago. Anyways, I digress. Going back to the bus driver. So, back to the bus driver. I really hope that you get a good head start because, like I said, the parents of that child might appear docile. But they may have somebody in their family that is not. So, moral of the story here is don't touch anyone's child. Don't do it because people will react violently when their children are at risk. They do. They react to the point of taking the life of others. And I wouldn't blame the parents for doing that. If that guy just ended up dead, I'm sorry, but you fucking put hands on a 10-year-old with aggression, with the intent to fucking terrorize. So, I'm sorry. This goes with abusive parents, too. You always see it in court where these abusive parents, like, kill the fucking child for negligence or beating the fucking kid to death or starving it to death. And you always see them just fucking burst out crying and boobing and shit. Like, oh, did I really lost my freedoms? Like, nah, bitch. You are going to die in prison because you won't make it long. After they figured out you killed your kid, the people find out you're a killer, that you're anything of sort of child, they will end you. You won't live long in the prison system. And if you do, you're going to be an insane person because you're going to only be isolated 100% of the time because they won't fuck with you. You know, like, people like you deserve to rot in hell anyway if you're just going to sit there and whoop kids' ass and assault them for no reason to the point where you break and kill them. Now, I understand discipline. I understand even to the point where, yo, hey, sometimes you got to test that butt once in a while. But you don't do damage. That has never made sense to me. There are other things you can do to punish children. Kids go insane these days when you take their devices away. You want to really discipline someone? Hey, have them, you know, do something productive. Like, it's not hard. Hey, you want to be an a-hole? Go do those dishes early. You know, help me with this laundry. You know, have them do something else. Switch their attention to focus on something, you know, moderately positive instead of staying in the negative. You know, having them just sit in their room does nothing. It drives them insane. You don't want to drive a kid insane. If I say, hey, kid, go sit in the room. Yeah, go play. Just go sit. You know, go sit and grab, you know, a book. Go sit and grab, you know, oh, it's color time. You're going to sit here and color until, you know, your dad a timeout. Or you might sit in a corner for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Like, something to that effect. Right? But you don't fucking put hands on them. That doesn't solve the problem. And even parents realize this. Parents realize this after yelling at a kid. Like, hey, even yelling. Like, it doesn't solve the problem. You got to let them know. You got to talk to them. Be human. Let them know that they are human, too. All right, second story. I do believe this guy's name is Robert Green. Murdered by Louisiana State Troopers about 2 years ago. The only reason we're hearing about this now is because their lie was so bad, so egregious, that nobody cared to dig and pry further until the body camera came out. So what happened was they told the family that their loved one died on impact of a tree. That never took place. The Louisiana State Troopers beat this man to death, put him in a chokehold, cuffed him up, and used stun gun probably 20 times on the guy. So he had a heart attack and he died because of that. And not only that, they literally dragged this guy by his feet, left him face down in the dirt so he fucking suffocated. They didn't even put him on his side. They just let this dude bleed out and die after being beaten and handcuffed. Then they had the gall to say, oh, well, I hope he doesn't have AIDS while they're cleaning his blood off of their knuckles. And then you wonder why people have such a view of law enforcement. And you know, it's so funny because law enforcement's taking on the whole, like, you know, we don't care what you view of us. We're the law. Okay, cool. You don't care what we think of you until we start taking away your money. And your department gets smaller and smaller and smaller until, quite frankly, it just doesn't exist. And, you know, all the guys that are in law enforcement now that are retired, they're like, well, I got mine. Okay, cool. So, when you're out, when you're retired, and you're done with law enforcement, and we find you on the street, don't be surprised if you get murdered. Because a lot of people are targeting former law enforcement and law enforcement personnel for a reason. Because you commit crimes, and you think you're just going to get away with it. That's no longer going to be the case, guys. I'm sorry. And I'm all for this. I am so for this. Like, I am pro murder of terrorists, domestic terrorists like cops. I am pro murder. Like, and that's a shitty thing to say. Like, oh, well, you just endorsed, you know, killing of a human being. Absolutely endorsed killing of a human being when that human being's life career is to ruin lives. They don't benefit anybody in society. They're not heroes. They don't, like, heroes don't lie to a family and say, you know what? He died on impact when the body camera shows that, oh no, we beat the shit out of him so bad that he died and we let him suffocate with his face in the dirt. Oh, well, if that's what really happened, maybe you wouldn't have armies of people mad at you and then wanting to take out anybody with a badge and uniform who might not even have anything to do with that incident. Or they most likely did not have anything to do with that incident, but they're going to pay the price for you? And then you guys in law enforcement are okay with your brethren doing that? Like, getting away with, you know, that nonsense? Or at least thinking they're getting away with that nonsense? And then it affects your department because somebody killed your police officers? It's an interesting dynamic there. I wonder how that plays out. I don't know if, like, a whole sheriff's department and a whole PD got wiped out because of the state troopers and what they did. I don't know, maybe, just maybe, you'd go after those guys. Be like, listen, you lied. You violated the law. Anybody involved with that situation should automatically be in prison for the rest of their life. Anybody. Same thing with the Breonna Taylor case. I don't know why I got to keep mentioning it. And you got motherfuckers in that case trying to write a book about their experiences. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, you signed a book deal to talk about how you murdered an innocent person? All right, bet. So when all these cop killers out there start signing book deals with companies because they enjoyed what they did, murdering cops, and they lived to tell about it, I should get a book deal too, right? Right? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we should get book deals. You know, we take out a few costs, we should get a book deal. We should get paid for our one-on-ones with reporters. I mean, all of that. We got to make money, right? I don't care if we're in prison. We still got to make some ends, right? Got to feed our family somehow still. I get it. Cool. Let's do it. But you have an entire institution of state troopers that lied. And then not only did they lie, but you had uppers and higher up chain of command continue the lie to the press and the people. And then you want people to think that you're a hero, that you are deserving of some sort of fucking accolade for any reason. That's why you looked all fucking squared away in your uniforms. And then, oh my god, the idea that motherfuckers probably got promoted and, you know, went on vacation and shit like that when your family member was murdered? It's just, it boggles my mind how there aren't droves of cops, you know, being just eliminated from nature, just gone by angry fucking relatives. And it's because these relatives are under the belief that at some point, justice will be served. Well, what they're making is a problem, because what they're making is a generation of people who, one, can't trust, will never trust law enforcement. They're making a generation of people who will do anything they can to get away from law enforcement, even to the point where you're probably going to see more violent interactions, because any interaction with law enforcement is most likely going to cost your life these days. Any interaction. Doesn't matter if it's positive, negative. Doesn't matter if it's a misdemeanor or felony. It could cost you your life with law enforcement. So my idea is this. Anytime law enforcement or a government agent of some sort goes to violate your rights, goes to contact you, anything like that, because their intention is not good. That's never good for you. So you should shoot first and shoot often. Even if it's CPS. CPS knocks on your door and they're trying to scare you into, you know, making you show your child to them. One, they're not a medical doctor at all. They're not medical professionals. They're not there for the interest of you or your child. So if they don't get the hint that they better come armed with a warrant next time they want to fucking speak to you and with an attorney, then you don't need to listen to them. You can just shut the door and just leave it be. Just let it be. Leave them alone. They will leave you alone. And if they don't, and they want to come barging your home for an allegation from some Karen or Ken that made a false allegation, but agents of the state are trying to demand a mandate that you show them your child and that they're trying to take your child. And we see it all the time where they literally lie in court. They lie on sworn affidavits to find reasons to take the child. And judges back them up because it's a money racket. So when you see in droves families being affected by this, and they do target families that are younger couples who have little kids, because little kids, they can put them in the system and they want to keep them there as long as possible. And the ones that aren't there that long are because they got parents and family structures that fight like hell to get them out of it. Especially when there's really no cause. Like when they did my show cause hearing with my wife and they tried to admonish us, I said, admonish us for what? And she's like, well, I have the same admonishment for what? She had no articulation. The admonishment was, hey, you're here for a reason. And by the way, we think you neglected your child. So, oh, that's what you're trying to say, that I neglected my child by falsely being arrested and falsely detained. Oh, okay. Okay, so that was my fault being falsely arrested. Oh, okay. Well, so the blame's not on the state. Of course not. No. Anyways, going back to what I'm saying. If you see agents of the state that have no probable cause, no fucking eyewitness anything, and or if they do, even if they have eyewitness fucking testimony from someone, you know, you don't need to capitulate to them. So if they're just showing up and they're knocking on your shit or they're trying to, you know, gain access to your fucking abode, no. If they don't have a warrant, shoot them. Shoot often. Shoot first. Police officers, same thing. Now, police officers, for some reason, think it's okay to just barge in and just shoot motherfuckers. Like, this kid, I can't remember where it was at, freaking cops come in, they don't announce themselves. They don't say, hey, oh, it was SAPD, so San Antonio Police Department. So you got San Antonio Police Department, San Antonio, Texas. They just open a door. Mind you, the door's shut. And they have their, they don't say they're law enforcement. They just look in there. They pull up their gun and then they want to shoot. Well, that's called murder. I don't care if you have all the probable cause in the world to go in there. Because there's some sort of witness saying there was a crime committed and the person in that place committed assault. You need to do it the right way. But nah, you want to shoot and then run like a bitch back to your car. Okay, cool. We got you. So don't be surprised if that dude's family comes after you. How do you think the Dallas shooter started the whole thing? Like, there's people out there not afraid of cops, not afraid of doing damage to cops. Now we need that more often. We need people out there. We need the Christopher Dorners out there in the world shooting cops. We need that shit. We need more. We need it actually more often than it happens. But when you're a Louisiana State Trooper, apparently, you can just murder a motherfucker, lie about it for years, so it passes the statute of limitations. Well, that needs to be fixed as well. That needs to be kicked out of fucking. So if you're committing perjury, that should be extended by another 2 years. The statute of limitations for the family to find and seek justice. at the very least. Anyways, I do want to thank you guys for tuning in to Dave's Life and Observation. I hope everybody is well. And I look forward to maybe another show soon.